Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. This is a day that the Lord our God has made. He loves us so much. Everything God do is out of His great, vast love for His people. And you know, every time I've studied this, every time the Lord gives something, He gives His very best. Every king, every prophet, our Savior Jesus, He became a man and died for us. He always gives us His best. Everybody that He anoints, He gave us His best. And if they live the character, God, that is very important. Character and maturity is very important. When I asked the Lord, what is His definition of the anointing, in the definition, character was also involved. He said the anointing is a sanction that gives a man or a woman God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. So man or woman, that means mature people, mature people. David was mature and he got anointed with a vial of oil. A horn of oil. Saul was responsible, but he still had a measure of fear in him from the beginning. He hid. Remember, he was only anointed with a vial of oil. Now, what does that tell us? God gives the anointing in proportion of your character and your strength and your maturity. And the Lord told Saul if he had done the things he should have done, he would have been established, which implies that more anointing would have been poured upon him. Now, the Lord anointed me in 86. He gave me a dream. I was in three dangers. I was very wise in each danger, beyond my wisdom. And I woke up puzzled about what I had just dreamed. I walked into the kitchen and I heard the Lord's voice say, "You're anointed, you're anointed, you're anointed, you're anointed." And it faded away. And I've seen the anointing mount up on my life. When I did the first radio broadcast, the second radio broadcast, it felt like warm honey. It wasn't just oil, it was thick, and it ran down my face. And as I obeyed God, I began to understand more and more, and I find myself doing greater things than I did before, speaking things that I never thought of. Now, before I get ahead of everything, today is Monday, wonderful day that the Lord has made, May the 30th, 2022. And today the Lord gave me an interesting message. This time I got the title of it before I published it, and it's called The Charge. And the charge is what God commissions people to do. He gives people a charge. That was a song years ago, a charge I have to keep. When the Lord anoints us to do something and we're faithful, see, faithfulness always activates the anointing. The anointing is activated by, not just by the person that's anointed, but also whoever is a faithful hearer. And they can be more than many. But for application purposes, I like to liken the anointing to heavy equipment. You know, when I worked in at the shop in Bessemer, we had a man from the county said we had the only shop that worked on everything under one roof. We would fix cars, motorcycles, trucks, lawn track, you know, the yard tractors, heavy equipment. We had one motor grader and we had a drop, we had our track loader, has two track loaders since I've been there. One stays at the landfill and we had to fix these things. So I liken the anointing to heavy equipment. It's not just limited to what heavy equipment can do. Remember, the anointing gives you God's ability. That's what he said in the interpretation. A man or a woman, God's ability. You'll be able to perform things that only God can do. Now, ever since God gave his commission to Adam, he always involved man. Every miracle was done through a man. And this is the end of the sixth day. This is Friday evening. Jesus is going to reign Saturday in the covenant week now. And we're at the top of the sixth day. On the sixth day, God created Adam. And he spoke to Adam on the sixth day. He said, "Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over everything that creeps on the earth. Fish of the sea, birds of the air, everything. Your jurisdiction, Adam." And he spoke this to them, Adam, Eve, and all of their descendants. Now, just remember the rule. The rule of the Levite, he was in Abraham's loins when he paid tithes to Melchizedek. So we were in Adam's loins when God spoke this to him. Don't forget that this is the top of this is Friday evening, almost midnight. I don't know, between evening and midnight somewhere, of the covenant week. Remember, the covenant week is 1,000 years. But on the restoration week, God was talking to a man that could reason with him, that could understand him and carry out what he said do. And this is because of great men of God, because of the anointed people and cooperation, we're at a point where we can hear God, reason, and do what he say do. We can reason with him. We can talk to him. We can hear his instructions, understand his instructions, and then perform it. Now, will Jesus find faith when he returns? If we do our job, he will. Now, the anointing gives us God's ability to perform and finish a specific task, a man or a woman, not a child, a kid, or a baby or a teenager, a man or a woman, a real man, a real woman that's mature in the Lord, that do what they should do, that enter into the glories and not let the enemy hinder them. So the more we have relentless sincerity, the more of us that have relentless sincerity, the more anointable we become. And that's our part. See, there's a God with side, a man with side. My pastor always say that. Our part is to cooperate. Now, I've been known to miss it and do things I shouldn't do. And sometimes I don't believe God fast enough or not putting myself down. But through the years, I can tell, just like I can tell you of victories, I can tell you of failures too. So this is the last day and people are counting on us. And the Lord gave me a heavy assignment that I love to do, the heart-to-heart broadcast. That's my main part of ministry. Not the radio broadcast, but heart-to-heart. That's the main focus of my ministry. This is where the greatest revelation that God has ever given me goes. And people that's been listening to this broadcast for years, God is going to bless you for it and establish you. And don't be surprised at what he gives you to do. But just be relentless. Continue to be sincere and be relentless about it, because I started saying a few years ago that I would do all that's in his heart. And I mean it every time. I mean it every time I see it. I say that because I confess it because I want to condition myself to be on the ready. Now, I like to liken the anointing to heavy equipment to make it simple. Heavy equipment has a key. The operator has a key. He turns it on at his will. But I like to illustrate it this way. The anointing is like heavy equipment that has two keys. The operator can turn it on at his will. And the person that's receiving from that anointing can also activate it. When I'm around the right people, they activate the anointing. I keep it on. I'm ready and willing to talk to people, spend time, no matter how much of a hurry I'm in. If somebody can hear the word, then and they and they and they they ask questions. They pull from that anointing. And God, it caught, I find myself saying the most interesting things around the right people. Not people that, when you talk about things under the anointing, they ready to go. They got to go eat. They got to go do something else. All of a sudden, they got something else to do. That happens. That happens. Some people, it puzzles me why people don't enter into greater glories. I'm still learning why. But I'm not going to spend much time on that portion of it. I told my son how sometimes I would be talking to pastor friends of mine, and I'd be about to tell them something that God freshly taught me under the anointing, and the Lord will cause me to forget it until I'm out of their presence. And then I was explaining, I talk about this from time to time on the broadcast, and it puzzled me for years and years. This started happening around 2000 or 1999, and then 2000, things like that would happen more and more. I was, what in the world is going on? I thought it was the enemy at first. I didn't understand it. A long time after that, I began to realize that the Lord was doing that. Because at first I thought it was their pride, but not necessarily. If people don't enter in to the glories of God, I'm talking about greater revelation. When the Lord prompts people and he wants to train a person, they have a window. You're like, well, I put it this way. When the Lord sent me to pastors with those words, and I would tell them what, you know, about following God, for instance, I'm using this for an example too. The Lord was fishing. Just like when he said to Peter and the apostles, who do men say that I am? He was fishing. He wanted to see what they would say. And Peter said, you are the Son of God. The Christ, the Son of God. And then Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't show you this, Peter, but the Father. And the Lord, he always listed Peter, James, and John. See, he didn't choose Peter first. He chose Andrew first, but Peter stood out. Peter was the one that walked on water. Jesus was fishing. When he came walking on the water, they all were afraid. Jesus said, be at peace, it is I. Be not afraid. Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. Jesus was fishing. All right. When he sent me with those words, he was fishing for men who would sincerely trust him. Now I'm looking back at years and years of dealing with the Lord about things and learning and watching him operate. He was fishing. I didn't understand what I thought that all of them were going to follow God. God was looking for someone that would follow him. And I spent time with some pastors more than others. And but I could only give them what God gave me to give them. I couldn't explain it. I wanted to. I took one pastor to lunch trying to explain things. And his brother-in-law happened to work at the restaurant and came and invited himself at the table and just took up the whole conversation. I didn't even get to talk to him good. Listen, the enemy don't want people to go to the next glory. You have to contend to get there. When I asked the Lord about balance, I'm going to read it again. People, we need this. We need what God is saying to us. He said, balance is determined sincerity to the love of God, the holiness of God, and the wisdom of God. So a lot of things happened in those days, and I stayed in balance because I stuck with what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. That kept me balanced when I didn't understand. Now, when I asked the Lord his definition of balance, he said, balance is determined sincerity to the love of God. I'll read it this way. Determined sincerity to the holiness of God and determine sincerity to the wisdom of God. All three together. That causes you to stay balanced. And the Lord taught me that, but I never, you know, when he gave me the definition, to me it's rehearsing what he taught me about love, holiness, and wisdom, how they contribute to each other to stay balanced. And that's how we stay balanced. Then he said something very interesting. He said perfect balance is relentless sincerity. Now that's the kind of sincerity where you follow God no matter what you see. You follow God no matter what you hear. You don't let the devil stop you in any way, no matter who he uses. Even if he used people you respect, you still stay steady to follow God. And then he said, relentless sincerity, it's steadfast and unmovable and never changes. Never changes. Then he said something very interesting. That's why I love to ask the Lord things, because he adds the right things, that elements that you need. While we're on the subject, he said, proud men can never be balanced. Now that explained a lot. Then he said this. He said, proud men can never be balanced, comma, value it, or appreciate it. Period. They are enemies to my balance, saith the Lord. Proud men are. His definition of pride was opposition. That's the opposite of God. He said their focus is within what makes them look good, and it's a worldly view. So if a person has pride problems, they get offended. People will get offended against you if they got pride in their heart. And they won't talk to you. See, the Lord was fishing for who would carry this charge. And the Lord told me that those that it's better if the men of God in the '90s would have followed, because they were trained. They were on fire. They just got come out of the charismatic movement. They were on fire for God. They wanted to know Him. And they had got to a point, and they were ready. God was trying to get them to enter into a greater glory. But because they didn't enter in, you know, two pastors I know and love, I said, Lord, why? What will happen if they follow you now? He said, it won't happen. I said, why? He said, they wasted too much training time. Now, this is where I'm getting to. Sometimes God couldn't give them more because they wasted too much training time. They couldn't be trained to carry such an anointing. Because if they had the knowledge, they could have done damage. Because if you're not prepared in character and trained by the Holy Spirit to carry the anointing, and you get the knowledge of it, you will attract people as you are. And guess what? The rule of the tree. Don't forget the rule of the tree. Every tree bears fruit after its sort, after its type. If you're good and bad and you got the anointing, you're going to produce a crop that's good and bad. They're going to have your habits, good and bad. You know, this is very important. If you look at the wisdom of God in Luke chapter 6, very interesting. It says, the first part of Luke 6 talks about how, you know, the disciples, people ate corn. I'll read the first verse and then we'll skip down. And it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said to them, Why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? Jesus answering them said, have ye not read so much as this, what David did when himself was a hunger, and they which were with him, how he went into the house of God and did take and eat the showbread, and gave also them that were with him, which it is not lawful to eat, but for the priest alone. And he said to them, and he said unto them, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Okay, let's skip on down. This proud men never get it. They can't be balanced. Remember that. They could only be an enemy against God unless they repent. And I've been studying the Word of God a long time, and I've never seen people that were proud in their heart. I never seen a pride man that was proud in their heart. They had pride in their heart. I never seen them repent. They only do more damage. Okay. Okay. Let's skip on down to verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray. You see that? And he continued all night long in prayer to God. Following God is following God. You have to contend to follow God. You have to stick with your petition until you receive the answer from the Lord and you become one with it. That's what praying all night long can do. It's very necessary sometimes. And some people won't do that. They can just go off the, they do things off the fly. They just, whatever come to their mind, they run with it. You can't treat, you can't do that and follow God. You got to follow God, not man, not yourself. And that's what happened to the church. People, they use too much of their own reasoning. The Lord said the greatest problem in the church is his people don't follow him. He told me that first person. He said, the biggest problem in the church is my people don't follow me. Verse 13. Now watch this. After praying all night, and when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Simon. You see that he listed Simon first, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon called the Zealot, he was a zealot, Judas, the brother of James, and watch this, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. After praying all night long, the Lord gave us an example. Some people are going to be traitors. That's why he had Judas. You know, God chose 12 and one of them failed. God chose 12 patriots and one of them, one tribe was missing in Revelation. And you know, the order, the listed order is how they started. This, you know, there's the way God orders things, that's the order of rank. In Revelation, you'll see the final order of Israel. Anyway, that's another subject for another day. Verse 17, and he came down unto them and stood in the plain of the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. Now, why I love this verse. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went out virtue out of him and healed them all. And he began the sermon on the mount, or the sermon on the plain. He lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. I love it. Now, when he was walking in the cornfield, he knew what the Pharisees were going to do. He was introducing his disciples into their new life, and they were going to have to follow God and use the wisdom of God, because the Pharisees had something to say about them eating corn on the Sabbath day, because they were hypocrites and proud at that. They loved the praise of man more than the worship of God. So when people select people to work for them, if you select a manager, the Lord taught me this back in like 2008. We had a new mayor, and the words just came out of my mouth. I said, if anybody's in charge of anything long enough, the whole thing, it could be a business, it could be a social club, it could be a church, whatever, a savings group, anytime somebody's over something, if they're over it long enough, the whole operation will take on that personality. So the people God puts in charge has to be mature. They must be dedicated to the charge that God gave them. I even said this while I was talking about. I said, if the leader allows somebody to usurp his authority, the whole organization will take on their personality over time. And I learned this, and it is very unique how I saw it. I didn't know to say that until, but in that season, the Lord, for 3 months, the Lord had me studying 1 Samuel all the way to 2 Chronicles. When I make it to the end of 2 Chronicles, I'd start over. And after about 3 months, I saw those patterns. If they had a godly king, Israel, they did decent. If they had a wicked king, they did wickedness. And they went into captivity. They took on that person's personality. They feared the king. And they took on his personality. The whole operation took on his personality, except for the remnant that wouldn't bow down to Baal. I said that too. I said the only people that won't take on a wicked leader's personality are those who really are dedicated to Jesus. And I said Jesus. Because when your eyes are on Jesus, the world can't influence you. If you have Jesus as your Savior and he's your Lord, you won't be part of that evil personality or that sloppy personality. Now, you know, so the Lord puts people in place. He gives them knowledge according to their sincerity. Now, for years, I saw how people, they shone what I was saying. And I knew that I would have to work and do that radio broadcast. I said, that's why God had me to have my own business. After reading Lester Sumrall's book, Pioneers of Faith, the Lord said, it's my perfect will for you to have your own business. I needed it. Looking back on that, this was way back in 2001 or 2003 when he told me that. But looking back on it, when I began the radio broadcast in 2006, I knew I was going to be ministering things according to the Word of God, like God taught me to. I was going to follow him. But so many people have compromised, they were not going to pay. They were not going to support that ministry. I knew this. I'm not trying to be negative or speak doubt. And I did everything. I tithed and I prayed for people to help me. And one lady consistently helped me. One lady called because she needed counsel and advice. And I talked to her. She sent me $50. The other lady has supported me. And the rest of it, I fixed cars to pay for radio time. At a time when I had child support, bills at home, and debt, I still did it because God graced me. And the church didn't help me, except for people whose cars I feed. This is how it went down. Why? Because I was introducing knowledge that nobody wanted. But see, the sincerest people, they'll come on this website. Only the sincerest people will hear these messages. That's just the way, because God is fishing for somebody that will take the charge. Now, New York had a terrible problem. You can look it up on YouTube. In 1893, the streets were full of manure, trash, all kind of stuff. Until I tried to find the mayor's name, but Google didn't give it to me. That commission, his name was George E. Waring. George E. Waring Jr. And he was the first one to start the sanitation department. And he called his laborers the White Wings. He had them dressed in white uniforms. This man, he was the engineer of the sanitation department, one of the most important departments of any city. And they cleaned those streets up. In a few months, they had the streets clean. And it looked like a respectable place. It didn't stink anymore. They had trash in the harbor, so much trash in the harbors, the ship couldn't come in the port. Because if you put the right person in charge of something, the whole thing will be, I mean, when you look at, I saw this on the History Channel, and I went back to Google to before I did this broadcast, because the Lord put it on my heart to bring it up. Nope, even Theodore Roosevelt didn't think New York could be cleaned up. But this man did, George Waring Jr., honorable man. He was a colonel from the Civil War, and he fixed that problem. He made all of his people wear white, and then they wore the same kind of helmets that the police wore. They was respected, and they cleaned those streets. Now, before that, you had politicians that get the money and hire who they want, and they kept the money, and the workers, they just, they wouldn't have do that job. They went to the pub and started sweeping the streets up. They'd sweep a pile, and a few days later, somebody would come and get the trash up. They were, if you go to any well-run restaurant, it's headed by people who are clean and neat. And they don't run out of goods. They don't run out of chicken. They don't run out of anything. And I watched. I even wonder how could they do this. They have people in lines all day long, and they never run out of anything. I've never seen a McDonald's run out of a Big Mac or a flare fish, because they are trained well. But if you put a sloppy person in charge, you're going to have sloppiness. They're going to run out of lettuce. They're not going to have change sometimes. You know it, but see, the Lord don't select somebody to operate under the anointing any kind of way. The people who didn't enter into the greater glories, they're going to have to stay where they are.